pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Happy Monday morning to you. Hope everyone is staying safe with Tropical Storm Sally approaching. We'll give you an update on the storm here in the next segment, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Still to come on the program, State Representative Tommy Haynes will be with us. That's at the bottom of the hour. Confucius Institute, so go talk to him about that. And maybe some other things if time permits. So please stay tuned if you would. But join us now. Always a pleasure to have on my next guest. You know, I'm used to serve you folks over there on the Eastern Shore. Well, Baldwin County, the southern part of Baldwin County as a whole, in the Alabama Senate. Former State Senator Tripp Pittman is on the line. Senator, how are you this morning?
Well, I'm good, Jeff. You know, when I started out, when I got elected, I guess in 07, a special election, I represented about, you know, three-fourths of the county. But with all the growth, by the time I was through 11 years later and termed myself out, it was about half the county. So Baldwin County's growing, and some people like it, some don't, but it's good for business for those of us that are in the construction equipment industry. So it's good, and it's good to be with you today.
And thanks for doing it. Thanks for coming on. But that's, you know, the political discussions, and I'm now a resident of Baldwin County, but it's for a very short time, about a month and a half now. That seems to be where a lot of the political debates are, along the lines of the growth, the pro-growth policies versus the, you know, people want to kind of maybe tap the brakes a little bit on how fast the county is growing.
Yeah, that was the issue in Iran. You know, protect the quality of life. You know, you're going to have growth. You're not going to stop it. You know, markets are stronger than governments. And people want to be here, especially now more than ever. So, yeah, it's a balance. You know, you want to try to. But we have a lot of land. You know, Baldwin County is one of the largest size-wise east of the Mississippi River. There's a few larger in Maine, but it's a matter of, you know, and leaving it up. Got planning and zoning commission. We do have some zoning, you know, and we have subdivision regulations. So yeah, there's that balance of the growth and the quality of life. You know, when I first came down here, there wasn't a bayway. And there was one Shell station up at the up where the new I-10 bridge was going to go, and of course we know all those challenges we have now. But it's growth. I'll tell you, go west. I was just out in Montana, so there's only 1 million people in Montana, and I think it's larger than Alabama. So, you know, sometimes people have to relocate geographically.
It's not as if Baldwin County has turned into the Holland Tunnel at rush hour or something. I mean, it maybe not perfect, but it seems like dealt with the growth fairly well the last 20-30 years.
Listen, I mean, we did. We're, you know, like I said, they're going back 2 decades. You know, we had zoning regulations, you had zoning, you had subdivision regs. I mean, one of the challenges now is, you know, you have the cities that have their extraterritorial limits that they can, you know, conduct business licenses, and they can have a look at all the development. It's good and bad, and then the county gets a look. So in some cases, you know, you're getting looked at with two sets of eyes in order to get something done. And but at the same time, you know, you get taxed, but you don't necessarily get the vote. So yeah, there's some challenges there. There'll always be challenges, Jeff. You know, sometimes the challenges we think we face, you know, make mountains out of molehills, and then all of a sudden you have a tragedy of 9/11, and God rest the souls of all those that died on that day 19 years ago, and then you end up with COVID and the pandemic and all of that. So and now we have a tropical storm, well, now a hurricane. So there's always challenges, and you just have to try to deal with them the best you can. So but the last guy in sometimes likes to lock the door of the gate.
Well, that's a good way of putting it. Sarah, I want to get you on. Obviously, for whatever reason, I have decided to go down this discussion about the ABC board, its role in Alabama, particularly with, you know, it seems to have taken more a bigger role, particularly in the age of COVID, by ending alcohol sales at 11. But the whole idea of the ABC system we have now, and my contention was, well, I think it would have changed a long time ago had there not been this issue of leases, and that kind of sustains it politically, it seems. But the overall, the ABC done, I mean, the way we, the retail stores, could it be done better? What is your take on this? You seem to have a grasp of this issue.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been in office and served as both the education budget chairman and the general fund chairman. So the reality is, you know, you are where you are in government. And, you know, the system was developed in order to legalize, you know, hard liquor. You know, a system was established where the ABC was there to, you know, to control it and also, of course, generate revenue. And now we have a tremendous revenue stream that comes from alcohol sales. So as a free market person like you, I would rather the government not be in sale of alcohol. But in this case, we are. We do have all the leases, and that's certainly a political, the political reality when you have, I think 1,000 stores. I think it's 889 or something, you know, retail stores we have in Alabama. It's a tremendous amount. And those people certainly want to keep those leases in effect. We also have 600 and something employees that work for ABC, and they want to keep their jobs. But what you have is you have a revenue stream that ABC kicks in about $266 million last year and $290 million this year. And that money, goes to mental health. It goes to human resources. They take that money and they use it to match, you know, 3-to-1 at least federal money. And so that's a reality. That's a cash flow stream that they use. And then you have money that goes to the general fund and then the education trust fund. And in addition to that, you also have sales tax. So, you know, there's, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars that are associated with this. And I think one thing that's important, you know, if the state stays in the wholesale liquor business, the price will probably go up because the state's markup, is something somewhere in the neighborhood of around 35-40%. You know, they discount about 14% to the package store. So if a bottle of liquor costs $10, you know, the package store can buy it for $8.50. It costs the state about $6. And they're selling it for 10 and they're charging a 6% sales tax. That money gets divided to the counties and the cities and the state. But there's just a tremendous amount of money involved. And, you know, there's been some attempts to get the state out of the retail business, which could save approximately $10 million. But, you know, when you're talking about $300 million worth of cash flow and the uncertainty of how that's going to work out, you know, it's a complicated political decision.
Right. Well, and there's been members of the legislature but that would argue, though, that you take it, you privatize it, you could still go up on the wholesale prices, but where the private companies will make their money is they can do it, they can sell liquor a lot cheaper, right? That they don't have the legacy costs. They don't have to pay the employees. I think the employee benefits of state employees is a big chunk of that. Is there an argument to be made that it behooves the state of Alabama to look at it from that perspective?
No, I think there's certainly the argument to be made. The challenge is that, you know, you've got 650 stores right now that are package stores that are, you know, out there selling liquor, you know, after the ABC stores closed or on, you know, Saturdays or, you know, when, you know, holidays that all of us don't get, which is a whole other debate. But, the fact is that we are where we are. And the other challenge is that now we're not just talking about, like, people that go down to Florida and you see caches and all the different, you know, liquor guys that have popped up. I mean, now you've got Costco and Walmart and a lot of other people that are in favor of getting the state out of the liquor business, because initially, you know, they can operate on, as I said earlier, you know, the package stores get a 14% discount. You know, they can operate over, and then the package stores market up way above that. But, you know, all of a sudden the Costco's and the Walmart's get in it, and they cut the price to drive a lot of people out of business. And then they come in and, then they come out and raise the prices. You know, I'm a free market guy, but unfortunately, we've created a lot of oligarchs and a lot of people with fair advantages. And so the unintended consequence sometimes, the market works unless you put government in the middle of it.
But the lease question to me, though, that even if you believe the privatizing it or keeping it the state in the game, there is a problem with the way the leases are done, or am I, you know, is my assessment of that fair?
I agree. There's not an RFP. I mean, they solicit proposals from people that have done previous proposals. I mean, they do some market research. They go into these areas and look where they'd like to be. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure that some of those costs could be improved on the leases. Of course, ABC's gotten into a lot of high-end alcohol in the last several years, you know, scotches and bourbons that, you know, they want to move into more strategically located retail outlets in order to appeal to the people that are going to spend, you know, hundreds of dollars on a bottle of liquor. Listen, it's an issue. I'm not for, philosophically, for the state being in the liquor business, but it came about as a compromise between, you know, the religious right that wanted it regulated, the people that were worried about young people drinking, and of course people that are always looking for revenue. And now we are where we are, and the idea that you just take the state out and create, you know, if you're going to get them all the way out. Now, you know, Senator Orr proposed getting them out of the retail business. I think that that's, you know, that could be a first step. But then again, you have to overcome the lessees out there, or the lessors out there that the state's leasing. But, you know, all these leases are, you know, at the will of the state. You can get out of them in a year. There's just all kinds of, political will, Jeff. There's so many people up there that, that have new friends and that, you know, get influenced. So it's very difficult to pass a bill or to change things. You know, it's 13 steps to pass a bill. It's very easy to stop bills and to maintain the status quo. I mean, the best way to build consensus for the status quo is to propose change. And so, it's just hard to change things. But it's always good to have debate and conversation, and that's why you're on the air, and that's why you're on the air for 3 hours.
KRG News 5, Mobile County Public Schools called off classes for today ahead of tropical
storm. Does the state need to be in the liquor business? The answer is no, it doesn't, but it is, and I'm just trying to bring to light the where we are in terms of where the revenue is and the political landscape.
But that was what kind of drew me to this topic, though, was this proposal by the governor to lease prisons from a private company. And if there's distrust, or if there's something untoward, seemingly untoward, whatever you want to describe that situation with the ABC board and the leases, winning the trust of the public with these prisons that in a lease where the government pays rent to somebody, you gotta win us over on this side to have this. And that, you know, that's why I raised this. But Do you see a correlation there? What do you have any thoughts on Bobby's proposal?
There's certainly a correlation, and you know, I was in the legislature and we had a two prison compromise, so that we could let the people that had prisons that wanted to keep them be part of the equation in order to keep them from, you know, filibustering the bill. And we had a conference report that came out, and there was a poison pill that was added, and it ended up dying. We do need prisons, okay? I have visited the prisons, and they're prison, right? The good people aren't there. They break the law, and I've had people call me asking to be moved from one prison to the other because the prison they were in before was nicer, and I told them, well, they shouldn't have broken the law, and they, you know, I'm not going to, you know, help to get them changed because maybe they won't break the law next time. But being said, we need prisons. I would have probably argued for, you know, one, and then see how that goes, and then add to them over time. Getting the legislature together, and I talked to Senator Elliott the other day, and, you know, he would love to see us do it. And I said, well, the first calls I would make would be the general fund chairman in both houses and see if they're, you know, they can withhold the money to pay the leases. And if they have interest in challenging the governor's decision, it could be done. But you know how contentious it is between the House and the Senate. I don't think right now you're going to get them to, you know, take on the governor in this case. But yes, there certainly should be the light of day put on the leases. The leases are, it's probably could be less expensive. Of course, government's going to be operating them in maintenance. But ideally, you know, I think it could probably be built by the state. I'm in favor of privatization, but the reality is in privatization, the private people usually cherry pick the least, you know, impaired, or those that are the easiest to deal with, and they leave the worst for the state to deal with. In this case, there's lots of things we need to do in terms of dealing with mental health, and paroles and furloughs. We need some new prisons. I tried to make it work that the state would build them, but you know the governor, I guess, with the political landscape, doesn't think that's possible, and so she's taken the course that she thinks is more viable. And also, I'm sure she has a lot of friends that you know have supported her, and you know she wants to help them to be successful.
So here we got to leave it there. We're up against a break, but I really do appreciate you coming on and making time for us this morning.
All right. Well, everybody stay safe and stay dry.
You do the same. That was a former state senator, Tripp Pittman, from Baldwin County. Always good to get him on. Got to take another time out. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 1065.
Perhaps I may become a highwayman again. Or I may simply be a single drop of rain.